Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Every smile hides a secret, and some of them are deadly. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Brian Koberger, the man accused of the tragic University of Idaho student murders. Well, they're getting into a lot of stuff. IgG, DNA, cell phone tracking, anything and everything that could possibly point to Brian Koberger being the main suspect, being the murderer. The allegations are out there, but Ann Koberger is trying to get it all thrown out, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We'll see how well that works. Joining us is retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreeke, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Robin, with your background in behavioral analysis, what can you tell us about the mindset of someone, we're just going to start broadly, who might commit such a crime like this?
Oh.
Broad question.
The mindset of someone might have committed, well, you know, it looked to me to be a potential serial killer in the making if you're looking at behaviors with multiple murders. But as my good friend, Dr. Chris Mahondi says, it's someone with a broken brain. Because, you know, we had a really heinous murder. We had a, you know, in person with knives, with knife wounds, stabbings. And then if you look at the overlay of the accusations of Koberger and you do the behavior pattern of Koberg throughout his life, it fits a life arc of someone that was on that journey to potentially do that. And that's what the prosecution is going to be trying to lay out.
And there's a lot of evidence to point that way. The biggest thing here, the biggest argument, though, that's being made right now, and as of this recording, we do not have a decision from the judge, is, okay, step one, the main thing that led them to Koberger was the knife sheath DNA. And how did they conclude where that came from? IgG, investigative genetic genealogy technology, which basically, you go into another database other than CODIS. You go into the one that Ancestry and 23andMe and all those throw that information into. And they narrowed it down. They narrowed it down to the Koberger family, to his father specifically. Then from there, they went and figured out Koberger. After a cheek swab, that DNA, his, matched to the sheath. You know, it's like one to a billion odds or something that it's right. Not him. That has the DNA on the sheath. Not to a billion odds that he's the killer, but the DNA of his is on the sheath. So the big explanation is, how did it get there if you're not the guy? It takes a bit to open up a K-bar knife sheath. It designed purposely for that because it can be dangerous, and you don't want to just pop out of your pocket. If you actually grab the blade itself, it takes some pushing. So that would make sense why there is touch DNA on it, because you got to get your thumb in there, however you're opening it, which would then be enough pressure to get that DNA on there. So it's not just like, oh, we looked at it at the store one day and put it back. Especially what will be interesting to see, which you don't have the receipts on yet, his shopping history. That's another thing they're trying to argue
out. I think I saw or I read it from Howard Bloom, who wrote the book. What was it? I think someone reported he actually had, they saw how he bought it on Amazon too. Mm-hmm. So that's part of more data points to say, I got a lot of crazy going on here.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, you have that, you have all these pieces, but it goes back initially to the IgG. The argument at hand here is using IgG to begin with would have never led to any of the other investigative pieces that they found. Of course, if you don't have a suspect, you can't dig into the suspect. But they're saying because they used IgG, everything should be thrown out. Now, I know Ann Taylor is going to try and argue this. This is her job. But at the same point, there are no rules for this. There's no law that says you can't use IgG. There's no law that says if you're investigating a murder of four college kids in your town and you're trying to figure out who might be behind it after running that DNA through CODIS and no matches, well, hey, here's this other database we can look at. There are no laws preventing us from doing it. You have some people who think this is wrong. There's a lot of people who think things are wrong. It doesn't change that people use them or that they can use them. There's no law preventing it. So I don't really quite get how she can come in and say that this was wrong and everything should be thrown out when there were no rules in place to prevent an investigator from using yet another tool that did successfully lead to who had the DNA on the knife. The science is not in question. It's more more so the ethics and morality of it. But again, no laws.
Yeah, so from what I understand, and this is really complex, like you said, there's no question about the DNA match. This is a DNA match for Koberger just because it is. I mean, it's like you said, it's one in a billion that it's not. And so it's a definite DNA match. I think what she, from what I'm understanding, because again, we start getting the legalese of what came first, the chicken or the egg. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe she's arguing the DNA on the knife sheath because, you know, that's touch DNA and it's in a database from the dad. I think what she's going after is the rest of identifying Koberger by what happened after that point. And that is, so if they then illegally violated his rights by identifying by getting cell phone data because of illegally gotten things. In other words, I think it was, you know, so you can't argue that the dad popped up there, but then getting how they got his swab is what's, I think, in question.
They had a warrant for it or for the dad.
But it's like, when did they have that warrant? I know that there's a timing issue, I think, is what she's trying to argue about. Because then it becomes fruit of the poison tree. If you got one thing because something was gotten illegally, then everything else falls apart. Mm-hmm. It's a stretch. Because from what I understand, from what the judges' rulings were on and their judges' thoughts is, I don't think it's going to hold up. But hats off to her. If you commit a murder or accused of committing for a murder, hire her, man. She's going at it hard. I don't think it's going to hold up, but it'll be interesting if it does.
Do you think there should? I mean, so it's just clear because I know they're arguing that it was gathered illegally, but I don't know how anyone can even argue it's gathered illegally when there's no laws that would make it illegal. Right. That's the part. I mean, you can just, it's like, we're just going to throw this term out there and hope it sticks. And people are going to believe, oh yes, this was gathered illegally. No, it wasn't. It really was not gathered illegally. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. You may not feel that that information should be out there, but the reality is it is, and it's not going to change. It is in existence now and people can access it. You don't even have to do 23andMe or Ancestry to be in that database. It's basically if you have out to a second cousin, you're in there. So that's basically about 90% of the population, whether you did the test or not. They can figure out who you are because your cousin, your aunt, whoever, people have done this. And eventually, I imagine the next year or so, it's going to be probably 100% of our population that is in there. And I get that is the argument. But with that being the argument, how does that hold up without any laws in place? Which the answer just maybe it won't.
Right. So let's reverse it now.
Yeah.
You know, speaking as the layman that we are in this, on the legal side as we are, it makes no sense that would hold up. So let's assume that she knows it won't hold up as well. And we've talked about this also on this case. Her main job, I think, is to keep him alive.
Yeah.
And if they're going, so think about this. If you're going to go for the death penalty still, and you're going to need a jury to have beyond reasonable doubt, and a jury is going to have a certain emotion tied to killing someone or their decision ending someone's life, you're going to sow as many seeds of doubt as you possibly can. And so I think this, if it makes no sense, then what's the other purpose behind it? Or it could have a dual purpose. You know, go at it anyway because that's what I'm paid to do, but also I'm going to be sowing seeds of doubt in any potential jury pool. So I think that's also part of the strategy.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.